Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Joining us here for our one-on-one is a stage and voice actress who's donned many masks in such series as Black Butler, Steins Gate, and Carnival. And what is more of a sheer coincidence, though, she's played many of the literal mothers on Attack on Titan, High School DxD, My Hero Academia, Barakamon, and Kiss Him, Not Me. Just to name a few. Now, outside of that, she hosts a very popular panel that's near and dear to her heart, known as Anime for Autism, which, since I myself am on the spectrum, we'll be talking a bit deeply about. I'm very happy to welcome Jessica Cavanna. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you doing, Evan?
I'm doing very well. Good. How has this quaint New England weather been treating you?
Oh my God, I just could not be happier. Like, I mean, it was 90 degrees the day before we got here in Texas, so I literally got off the plane and like almost wept. Like, I was just like, oh my God, please, yes. So I'm so happy.
So before we dive into the voice acting roles, I noticed that in your stage resume, you played the role of the Mormon wife, Harper, in Angels in America.
Yes.
Which not only is an excellent play, but it is a marathon I can imagine to work on.
It's true.
So I've always wanted to ask someone who has worked on this play about the challenges of doing a production such as this, especially due to the fact that it's practically 2-3 hour plays.
Yeah. That is the truth. Sadly, we never got to do part two.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of this terribly harrowing story. Our production, which is still one of my favorite productions I've ever done in my life, and it was one of my earlier professional productions, so I was kind of enamored of the whole process, but we were kind of plagued. Like, it was like one of our cast members got spiral meningitis.
Jeez.
And so someone had to step in for him one weekend and hold a book. And then another cast member got strep so bad that he lost his entire voice. Same understudy had to go on for him the next weekend. And then we had our entire set stolen.
Whoa.
here's the best part. It was found in a crack house.
Not lying.
Someone who was related to someone who was involved in the production was an addict, sadly, and yeah, so that really happened. And I think the poor thing, the producer of that show, by the end of it, I think was like, and I'm done. Like, we are not going to be doing the second part of the show. But for me, as an actor, it was one of the most challenging and inspiring and wonderful journeys ever. I loved Harper so much, and finding a way in to someone who is an addict was just I don't know, it was amazing.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. You know, I've seen snippets of the play. I've seen the movie that Mike Nichols directed.
I love the film. Yeah. I love her, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Mary Louise Parker.
Very good role. For my listeners, I highly recommend checking that out. And if it is playing in a theater near you, definitely go and see it.
Yeah. No, actually, this month, there are showings that there's a remounted production that has started in London. It's coming to Broadway. It has Nathan Lane in it and Andrew Garfield.
Wow.
Andrew Garfield is playing the lead. And it is being shown in movie theaters right now, this month, I think. So look that up, because apparently, I haven't seen it, but apparently that production is amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I know I joked about this in the intro, but it's very true that you play many mother characters on the anime realm. Do you often take your real-life experiences as a mom and implement them into your performance?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, my relationship with my son is the most important thing in my life. And I kind of feel like when there's a relationship like that in your life, there's no way for it not to bleed over into your work. I think in a good way, you know? So, yeah, I would say the two that really stand out where I feel like I draw from my actual mom experiences are Attack on Titan. not that anything that terrible has ever happened to me, but you know,
still
I'm still here and I have not been chewed to pieces, so that's good. But just her desperation to care for her kids, I just related to. I mean, I lost it in the booth when we recorded that. Like,
yeah.
It was just so real. The writing was so good and exactly what a mom would do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then My Hero Academia, because she's just the biggest fan of her kid.
Right.
And she just can't help herself, you know? And I love playing her. She's so full of joy and fear, like mom fear. Like, she's so, and I just get all of that. So, yeah.
Right. And I feel like maybe from your experience and the like, because with you raising a kid on the spectrum,
yeah.
You can relate to the mother, because Deku kind of is like the opposite. Like, he doesn't have what all the other kids have.
Exactly. The storyline really spoke to me when I watched the show. I was like, oh my God, this is so real. You know, like, this is exactly, it really felt to me like a story about a special needs kid, you know? Like, in that world, he kind of was.
Right.
I mean, he was, yeah, and had to work double hard. And, yeah, so that show means a lot to me.
I can imagine. Now, given the popularity of My Hero Academia, and considering the vastness of this series, the universe, one can, like, easily take one character of this show and just do an entire series on it. So let's say that Bones wants to do an origin story on the character of Inko, because she was a superhero before she became a mother. And they wanted your feedback on how to go about telling that tale. What would you say to them?
Oh my God, that's too hard. I don't know if I can answer that. I mean, I don't know. I guess my only hope would be that they would keep her as real as she is. And you know what I mean? Like, that we would see her vulnerability even back when she was strong as, you know, she's always strong, but
yes.
That we would still see that same open-heartedness in her, you know, because I think that's what drives her. You know, some people, their strength is what drives them. I think other people's superpower is being open with the world and laying themselves bare and being vulnerable. And, like, that's a super strength, in my opinion, in this terrifying world. And
absolutely.
So I would just hope that that would be the focus, you know.
That's a good take. I can imagine that being, like, deep in the realism aspect.
Yeah.
One of my other I know this is like a very, very short role. I think it only appeared in one episode of this, but I have to say one of my favorite mom moments of 2017 was you in Tsurudere Children.
Oh, well, thank you.
I just love the reaction that you have in that, because it's like, oh, I'm here to bring snacks. Whoops.
Right. And goodbye. Yeah. Yes. Bye-bye. Yeah, thank you.
Was it hard not to crack up during that part?
Yes. It was. Yeah, that was a blast to film and didn't take that many takes, because, again, I think it's like, I don't know. I think I fought it at first, but these moms just live in me. I am a mom, so I get it. Yeah, I loved that moment.
Yeah. Now, here's a role that isn't a mom character, but it's a character you've played in many series, and that is of Paula, Elizabeth's maid in Black Butler, which she's always such the lighthearted character.
I know.
There.
She's adorable. Jingle, jingle.
So is that like the kind of mindset that you like to have when you're playing her? Like that lightheartedness? Because there's a lot of bad stuff that happens around her, but
there
she
is.
Manages to keep it together throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, Paula is one of these really small roles who could have no impact, but I think you're right. I think her positivity is a nice little shining light in this like super dark world. And yeah, you know, it's funny though. I was so terrified through the entire recording of that because it was my very first role.
Really?
Yeah. And I was called in by Ian Sinclair, who was directing, because he knew me as a stage actor and he knew I could do dialects. Mm. And so I had never done voiceover at all. I had never been in a booth. So like through that whole thing, really, the overwhelming feeling was terror through that entire process. So I don't know how positive I was. I mean, I took direction well, I think, but yeah, that's actually one that sometimes I wish I could go back and do again, just so I could relax a little bit more and have a little bit more fun and not be so terrified all the time.
Well, you kind of got a bit of a chance to do that when you had Book of the Atlantic, I believe.
It's true. It's true. She just didn't have much to do with that.
Right. It is true, but still, you kind of got comfortable with
yes.
the role by then.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, one of the things that I did talk about, so the first half we're talking about the roles. Now, the second half I want to talk about the panel that you're doing, which is Anime for Autism. As
yeah.
you mentioned, you have a kid on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. You brought this here for another anime convention to do. Can you describe this panel for our listeners?
Sure, yeah. Basically, I'm still pretty new to the con circuit. And what I realized, though, right off the bat, the first convention I went to, which was TNT in Oklahoma, was how many people on the spectrum are at these conventions. I mean, it's just like... It's true, right? And I just felt for them because conventions are, in the best of times and in the best of mentalities, they're hard. You know, like they are overwhelming. There's a ton of people. I get overwhelmed, you know? And it started occurring to me, like, this could be a challenge, you know, for some of these guys and girls. And so I just thought, how cool would it be to just have an hour where it's like, hey, we're going to just get together. And if you're on the spectrum or if you're just a friend of someone on the spectrum or a parent or whatever, we're going to come together. We're going to talk about anime that we like in a situation where you don't have to worry. Like, if you don't have to be afraid to stand up and talk or afraid you're going to sound weird or anything like that. And also, we can talk about the challenges if you feel like you want to talk about how hard it is to be here and give each other advice on, oh, when I feel that way, I go to the manga room or, you know, whatever.
Exactly. Like, I always have the advice because I've gone to conventions on my own by myself, and it sucks. Not because of the spectrum aspect, but more of there's a lot of work I got to do during a convention.
Sure,
so
yeah.
it takes a lot out of me. So that's why it's always great, in my personal opinion, to always have a couple friends along, as you can see, John, and as you can see, Derek there. Great people that to always have around you. So that's always a good suggestion that I have for people, not just on the spectrum, but for anybody
in general,
going to a convention.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it was so interesting. The very first time I held the panel at TNT, there were like 75 attendees. And I honestly, when we first started, I assumed that the majority of them were probably friends or allies. You know what I mean? Like, no, the majority of the people in that room were on the spectrum, and I would say a majority of them were not super high functioning on the spectrum. And it was emotional, you know? I think some of them looked around and started crying and were like, I didn't realize how many other people were here that understood what I feel like when I'm here.
Right.
And people made friends, and it was like just the most... I barely talked, you know, I introduced and I was like, here's my story, here's about my kid, and then we just started talking, and it was just a solid hour of hands in the air to talk. No, I mean, we didn't have enough time, and
right.
it just went beyond all my expectations, and it made me realize it's not just a cool idea, it's actually a need. Like, I want to go do this everywhere I can, because I feel like people left that room and felt encouraged and felt like they weren't as alone, and I saw people make friends and hang out the rest of the weekend because they met at that panel. And it just, it's literally kind of the light of my life right now. Like, I love, love, love being able to have that panel. And I feel like I'm barely necessary to be there. Like, it just, people just needed a room to be together.
Has the panel brought any surprises from the audience while you've done it?
I think I've just been kind of blown away by how grateful people were. You know what I mean? I just thought, oh, this is a cool idea. Let's just do this. But people were like, oh my God, I've been waiting for someone to address this, because yes, there are so many of us here and we tend to feel so isolated. And so I think that's been the most overwhelming thing, is how happy people are that it's happening. And I think that's what's propelling me to try to do it more.
Yeah. So as one myself being autistic, I often find myself very eclectic when it comes to my taste in anime. Funny, dramatic, gory, calming, romantic, just about every kind I watch. From your own personal experience, whether it is with your son or from people that you've gone and done this panel at, do you see most viewers on the spectrum being as eclectic, or do you usually see them latch onto something more specific?
No, actually, and I have been kind of surprised by that. I think I was expecting them to latch onto something specific because my son is very like that. He is obsessed with like three things and three things only, and that is all he cares about. And that's him. But the majority, I think, of the people I meet in the panel have very eclectic taste, and they're all over the place. And they have, and because I, one of the things I ask sometimes, because I'm trying so hard to get my son to watch my shows, and he doesn't care, and I'm like, I can't be a Disney villain. I'm sorry. Like, he loves Disney.
Yeah.
So I ask for suggestions of like people's favorite anime and like why, and I write, and you know, things that I think he'll like, I'll write them down. Mm-hmm. And I've been kind of blown away by people, or, you know, yeah, they have very eclectic tastes all over the place.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So here's an interesting question for you. And with you working in the anime industry, you see, like, so many different characters of different shapes and sizes. But I'm curious, have you watched an anime and looked at a character and think that they could possibly be on the spectrum?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. In fact, Moika in Steins Gate that I played, I wondered a little, and Colleen and I kind of played with the idea that she was somewhere on the spectrum. The whole thing of she doesn't look at anybody's eyes, she communicates via text preferably. Mm-hmm. You know, all of that stuff kind of struck us as like maybe she was on the spectrum. And yeah, I've seen other characters that are not like coming to my mind right now. But yeah, I feel like more and more we are seeing that.
Right.
Bit. Yeah.
Like from my experience, because I watch a lot of anime to review for a second. Like I see like a show like Mr. Osamatsu and a character like Tsushimatsu, him being like wild and carefree, always like smiling. He kind of reminds me of someone that is kind of in the mid-range of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And then you have a character like Renge in Non Non Biori who isn't quite expressive. Like, I wouldn't say that she's on the lower functioning. She's very high functioning.
Yeah.
But she doesn't smile much, and she kind of does kind of, I want to say crazy things, but like she's very imaginative in ways that normal kids really aren't imaginative.
Yeah, kind of a unique train of thought. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And most recently, I would say the character of Kikari in Amancha. I don't know if you've seen this show.
I haven't.
She has this very sort of mentality that is very high on the spectrum, but she kind of has like a hard time maybe like communicating a little bit here and there and making friends until this other girl comes in and becomes her friend as well.
Man, that's so encouraging, isn't it? Like to see our world manifest in anime and, well, in any kind of art, really. I'm
Absolutely.
So encouraged by seeing new TV shows, too,
yeah.
that have autistic characters, like The Good Doctor is
supposed
to be so
good. Right,
which,
you know, sometimes, like, I do have to say that some shows, like The Good Doctor, I think is a great example
yeah.
of, like, doing it properly when it comes to showcasing someone on the spectrum.
Yes.
But then I see a show like Atypical, which I thought was terrible.
See, I have not watched it because I think it would make me mad. Like, that's...
I shut it off five minutes into it, let me tell you.
I saw a preview, and I was just like, something is rubbing me the wrong way. It doesn't feel right. So, yeah.
Okay, you will not like it. If I hated it, you will, like, despise it.
Thank you for saving me that time.
You will despise it.
Okay.
So, I know we're running short on time, so I'm going to end the show with a question that I normally ask people that I have on the first time on my podcast show, and it's a little game called Three Character Island, which is basically, if you found yourself stuck on a deserted island, which three characters that you have portrayed in the past would you like to have with you to keep you sane until your imminent rescue, and why?
Oh my god. To keep me sane. Okay, so I need to be kind of resourceful, too, so I would live. Oh, it's just so hard. I play really weird characters. Okay. I think Izuku's mom and My Hero Academia would be amazing to have around for all time because she would make sure that everyone's positive and she'd make sure everyone was fed.
Yep.
And then I'm thinking of only ones that I just want around to entertain me, like Dadon from One Piece. I'm like, I just want to hang out and drink with her and bitch about how terrible shit is on the island.
Well, that would help keep you sane, of course.
See, that's kind of what I think. Like, she's nuts, But also, she's a badass. And so, yeah, like, I could be real with her. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm forgetting, like, someone really great. I don't. I really think Rui from Codebreaker would be a resourceful person to have around.
Very cool.
So, yeah. I don't know if she'd keep me safe, but she'd be good to have around.
Jessica, thank you so much for joining me here on 101. And for our listeners, I want to ask, where's the next time you're going to be doing the autism panel?
Honestly, I'm not sure. This is my last convention that's scheduled for this year, and I'm still trying to get my next year lined up. So if you would like to see the panel at a convention near you, please let them know. I am open and willing and would love to come anywhere. So, yeah.
Jessica, thank you once again. And I hope you have a blast the rest of the Never Anime Convention.
Thank you so much.